Join Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts or the Wondery app to listen to Business Wars early and ad-free. May 2013. It's just after midnight in Detroit.
I have to admit, this is one hell of a car.
General Motors Chief Executive Dan Akerson is on a covert mission under the cover of darkness. He doesn't want anyone to see what he's doing on the cold, deserted streets of the Motor City. He's driving a Tesla. GM Vice Chairman Steve Gursky is riding shotgun. The car hits 100 miles per hour with a whisper, like it's barely trying.
Good Lord, this thing pushes you back in your seat. I do miss the roar of the engine, though. That's weird.
Both men are obsessed with the Model S, from mechanics to marketing. Gursky looks at the large computer screen embedded in the elegant dashboard.
This is one hell of a car. No wonder people are going nuts over this. It's like a hot date.
Yeah, I drive a Volt, and it's a good car, but this thing's so sweet. I feel like I'm being unfaithful.
Akerson smiles as the car smoothly rounds a curve in the road at a fast clip. He's a focused, analytical man with an engineering degree from the Naval Academy. He's worked in telecom and knows about fast-paced technology. He's become increasingly frustrated with a lack of fresh thinking in research and development at GM. Akerson pulls the car to a stop in his driveway. Both men get out to examine the EV. Akerson points at the back seat.
Look at the back seat, Steve. What do you see?
Room and plenty of it.
Exactly. Just like the Volt had when we were placing the battery pack under the frame. Now Tesla does the same thing. For some damn reason, we've moved the battery between the seats. Now the interior's cramped as hell. Why aren't we using our own innovations?
Good question. And the range for the Model S is up there with the Volts, even when the Volt has maxed out the electric and it's running on gas. Well, Dan, what's your play?
I think we get a crack team to dissect what Tesla's doing. Every aspect. You know, a young crew of engineers, planners, salespeople. GM needs to catch up with Tesla before it's too damn late.
The two men shake their heads and head their separate ways. Akerson gets back into the Model S, grips the steering wheel harder, and guns the car into the night without a sound. Tools and Weapons is a podcast exploring the promise and the peril of the digital age, hosted by Microsoft's vice chair and president, Brad Smith. His latest guest is Bayer CEO Bill Anderson. Though many of us know Bayer for its pharmaceuticals, they're also focused on crop science with the goal of making sure no one on planet Earth goes hungry. On Tools and Weapons, Brad and Bill talk about how the German company is using artificial intelligence paired with CRISPR technology to increase food production without fertilizers. Their efforts put AI and digital tools in the hands of farmers to get the most out of every acre on a hotter, more crowded planet. It's the latest conversation in a series that invites listeners to pull up a front row seat to some of the most important developments in technology today. You can check out this episode and a whole lot more of Tools and Weapons with Brad Smith wherever you get your podcasts.
If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you-know-business.
From Wondery, I'm David Brown, and this is Business Wars.
In our last episode, Tesla grew from a Silicon Valley boutique shop to a potential threat to Detroit. EVs still make up a small percentage of cars sold, but the trend line tells the story. Tesla's market value is way up, around $20 billion. That's over 400% from last year. GM is up by 25%. At this rate, Tesla could wipe the floor with GM in a decade. And other major automakers, Ford, Toyota, Nissan, Honda, and Chevy, are taking notes. No one wants to be bringing up the rear. The battle to dominate the EV market is on. After near-devastating financial and production issues, Tesla is finally churning out hundreds of its Model S cars every week from its newly acquired 5-acre factory. The facility is on par with any plant in Detroit. But despite the trappings of success, Tesla has serious problems to solve, like how to get cars to the people who want to buy them. And that's something that the traditional automakers with their vast network of dealerships does very, very well. And it will do everything it can to keep that advantage to overtake Tesla in the EV market. This is Episode 3, Motor City Fights Back. It's May 2013 at the Tesla offices in Palo Alto, California.
Mr. Walters, come in.
Elon Musk telegraphs disinterest the second he extends his hand to 70-year-old Bill Walters. He's chairman of the Texas Automobile Dealers Association, representing 1,400 dealers throughout the state. Walters is a gracious Texan, a veteran lobbyist who's seen his share of battles.
Mr. Musk, well, I'm here to say we want to work with you in Texas. You can do things just as you like, as long as it's legal. You need dealerships.
Tesla sells direct using high-tech interactive showrooms. Customers order their cars online, making dealers irrelevant. When Tesla arrived on the scene in 2009, Detroit's thousands of franchise dealers laughed. The tiny company posed no threat. Now, that's changed. Tesla has temporarily sidestepped Texas's anti-direct sales law and plans to do the same in other states. And now here's Walters wanting to talk about dealerships. Musk shakes his head at Walters dismissively.
Sorry, but that's not going to work for us. Excuse me? No one wants to buy it from a price-gouging dealer. It's a terrible experience. We're eliminating that.
I beg to differ, Mr. Musk. We had almost 3 million dealer sales in Texas last year. Now,
listen,
I'm unaware.
I'm going to spend a f***ing $1 billion to beat the U.S. franchise laws. That includes Texas.
Walters is shocked.
The safety of everyone in Texas depends on the quality control of the dealership network. That's 28 million people. Now, this is a system that works.
As Walters waits uncomfortably for a response, Musk doesn't even bother to reply. He pulls out his phone and starts texting. Finally, Walters speaks.
So, this is all just about you then?
Now it's Musk's turn to be shocked. Few people get in his face like this. Musk stomps out of the room, shouting to an assistant.
Hey, get this guy the f*** out of here.
Musk can walk out on a meeting, but Tesla is headed for legal confrontations that are more difficult to dodge. Independent franchise dealers around the country are fighting back. North Carolina is vetting a bill to ban Tesla's online sales. Dealers in New York and Massachusetts are threatening to do the same. Virginia won't allow Tesla to open stores, period. And if you can't sell your cars, well, you've got a serious problem. It's July 2013, GM's Detroit corporate headquarters.
Listen up, people. We're chasing Tesla here, and we've got a job ahead of us. They're already proving to be a big disruptor.
Dan Ackerson stands before the cream of the crop of General Motors' young talent.
The task force he's assembled to dissect Tesla includes everybody from engineers to managers to salespeople. A manager speaks up.
Tesla's definitely pushing the envelope with the Model S, but is it actually a threat to GM? I mean, it's still essentially a niche company, right? The Model S costs around $100,000. Now, that's a car for rich green tech lovers. Is Joe Sixpack going to buy that?
Ackerson stares at the manager.
I don't want to make the mistakes GM made by underestimating Toyota and Honda. They came up with efficient cars that caught on while we looked the other way. Now guess what? Toyota's the biggest car maker in the world. That used to be us.
Well, what about safety? Those lithium-ion batteries are highly susceptible to fire, and that 17-inch computer touchscreen mounted there in the dash, that's just an accident waiting to happen. It's like driving around with a laptop.
Tesla's screen is not only a web browser. It controls every element of the car, from media to energy consumption to navigation. It's pure Silicon Valley technology.
And think about this. Tesla says their next model in 2016 will have a driving range of well over 200 miles on a single charge, and it'll sell for under $35,000.
The room is silent. The threat is clear.
So, I'm asking you, is that even possible? I don't see how. It's way too costly to build an EV with those capabilities. But that's exactly what we need to do. Create an EV with a 200-mile range for around $30,000. We make that, and we can kill Tesla.
Ackerson pauses and scans the room.
We're going to do this. GM is budgeting $7 billion for research and development this year. Let's get our money's worth.
It's November 2013 in Washington, D.C.
Oh, shit, dude. That's a brand new car. Oh, that's a Tesla, dude.
Deep within the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration offices, two officials are examining cell phone footage of a Model S in flames on a highway outside of Seattle.
That thing is really blazing.
Oh, yeah. The firemen are having a tough time with it. Those lithium-ion batteries are flammable as hell.
Well, apparently it ran over some kind of metal debris and the battery pack exploded.
Same as the ones in Tennessee and Mexico.
Tesla's worst nightmare has come true, and it's going viral. The company thought it had eliminated the fire danger of the thousands of batteries packed into a Model S. They were wrong.
It's lucky no one was hurt in any of these incidents. We need to conduct a formal investigation before that happens.
Well, Elon Musk has already tweeted about all that. He's inviting us to examine the cars.
Like we need his invitation. Who's this guy think he is?
Since the first fire in October, Musk is deep into damage control mode, strongly defending his cars on social media. In his blog, he writes that there have been over 400 deaths and 1,200 serious injuries in the United States alone due to gasoline car fires compared to zero deaths and zero injuries due to Tesla fires.
You think it could be defective batteries?
Too soon to tell.
The Model S, meanwhile, is getting hugely positive reviews, including an excellent crash rating from the NHTSA itself. But the 1-2 punch of the viral fire video and the announcement of the NHTSA probe hits Tesla hard. Tesla's stocks plummet by 6%. During crash tests 2 years ago, the Chevy Volt had a similar situation, though the NHTSA ultimately stated the hybrid was safe as any gas car. Sales took a nosedive. The main selling point of the Model S has been its high-tech, problem-free design. With that reputation in question, Tesla faces a dilemma that could sink the Model S. Tesla engineers quickly dive into making the Model S work. The car rides lower than most vehicles, so road debris could impact the motors underneath the car. The solution isn't cheap, but it is relatively simple. Raise the body and add a titanium shield underneath the car to further protect the thousands of lithium-ion batteries.
it works. Tesla sales stay steady, and roadside fires disappear. The NHTSA closes its investigation. Musk tweets to his ever-growing army of followers that the Model S is the safest car in America. At the end of 2013, Tesla is on track to sell 23,000 Model S sedans. That's 20,000 more than Musk had promised. But he wants to increase that to 500,000 in a single year. The company has weathered scrutiny from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, but the litigious specter of the franchise dealerships isn't going away, especially Tesla's test case enemy, Bill Walters, and the Texas Automobile Dealers Association. Backed by a team of 8 lobbyists, Musk travels to the state capitol in Austin. But Walters' team far outnumbers Tesla's. Worse yet, the Dealers Association has donated about $2.5 million to politicians during the 2012 elections. That buys a lot of goodwill. Musk announces plans to come back fighting in 2015, but right now, he's facing a battle that could cripple Model S production and plans for the third-generation EV. As Tesla loses speed, Detroit takes the lead. It's a war over the silent beating heart of the electric machine, the batteries. And that provides just the kind of opening Detroit is looking to exploit.
You know, Audible has a brand new collection of exclusive thrillers. Every move is made more exciting by captivating sound design, eerie soundscapes, and dynamic performances. I just downloaded The Grand Opening by Carl Weber. It's a mystery about a family business in a small southern town, and there are secrets around every turn. You know, when I'm listening, the time just disappears, getting completely immersed in the story and the performances. And as an Audible member, you get to keep one title a month from their entire catalog, including bestsellers and new releases. So come on, listen along. New members can try Audible now free for 30 days. Head on over to audible.com/BW or just text BW to 500-500. That's audible.com/BW or text BW to 500-500 to try Audible free for 30 days. As business owners and managers, you use software for your business every day. You use one piece of software to manage your customers, another to manage your employees, another to manage your finances, and the list goes on. You buy these pieces independently and hope they fit neatly together like a puzzle. And then you find out the hard way that they don't, and you end up with a mess at the heart of your business operations. Does any of this sound familiar? Well, fortunately, Zoho offers a solution to this chaos. It's called Zoho One. Zoho One is a suite of around 50 pre-integrated business applications that fit together beautifully. So instead of dealing with disparate software from multiple vendors with multiple contracts and price points, you deal with one vendor with all the pieces of the business software puzzle neatly put together, offered at a very attractive price. Now, if this sounds interesting to you, you got to check out Zoho One at zoho.one. That's Zoho.one. With Zoho, you're not just licensing apps. You're licensing peace of mind. It's December 2013 at Tesla headquarters in Palo Alto, California.
Hello, gentlemen.
Elon Musk walks into the meeting room smiling. He's anticipating good news about battery prices. A handful of executives from Panasonic have come in from Japan. The company has been Tesla's battery supplier since 2006.
Hello, Elon. I guess we don't need to ask how you're doing. The Model S is enjoying tremendous success. Congratulations.
Damn right. It's been good for us and good for Panasonic, I think.
2 years ago, Panasonic was undercut by cheaper Chinese competitors and lost billions on flat-screen televisions and mobile phones.
It's been rough. We've laid off over 10,000 workers, but we're restructuring our focus toward battery production. which is why renewing and growing our partnership with Tesla makes so much sense.
All good. We'll sell 50,000 a year and the same for the Model X in 2015. And there's going to be huge demand for the Model 3 when it debuts in 2017. I'm looking at 500,000 a year. As usual, Musk is dreaming big. But if interest and demand keep rising, he may not be far off. It all hinges on having millions of lithium-ion batteries on hand to keep assembly lines moving around the clock. Without the cells, Tesla can't compete with Detroit. Musk looks at the Panasonic reps and waits for the good news. No doubt they'll offer a price cut to reflect this huge increase in orders.
This is an exciting growth period, Elon. Panasonic will be happy to accommodate Tesla's needs. I'm sure we can work out the price increase.
Price increase? Musk is so shocked he's not even yelling.
That's right. Is there a problem?
Musk smiles. A problem? No, nothing we can't deal with. Thanks for your time, gentlemen. The minute the Panasonic executives leave, Musk turns to his manager. He's strangely calm. Okay, here's the plan. We're building our own battery factory. The manager just stares at him and musters up a nod. It's a daunting, maybe even crazy idea, but that's the way Musk operates. Making lithium-ion cells is not easy, and building a factory for such a task is not cheap. To create millions of batteries, Tesla engineers estimate they'll need a structure more than four times the size of Disneyland. It will be populated by some 6,500 workers, and it will cost around $5 billion. But the benefits are enormous. Making batteries under its own roof will bring down costs on shipping alone. Tesla can finally mass produce an affordable EV for under $35,000. If they can pull it off, Tesla could compete as a major automaker, and the move would allow EVs to climb out of a niche market that no company, big or small, from Tesla to Nissan to Chevy, has been able to do. The only problem is the $5 billion price tag. Tesla has roughly $800 million to spend. But Panasonic isn't going away. Yoshi Yamada is a veteran Panasonic vice president with a keen knowledge of Western business practices. When word of Musk's plans reaches him, he steps in to calm things down and maintain relations. He reaches out to Tesla asking what he can do. He's going to get an answer. It's January 2014 in Palo Alto, California. Elon Musk and Tesla's chief technical officer, co-founder J.B. Straubel, are taking a drive to clear their heads. J.B., where are we going to get the funds for this factory? It's a question that Musk and Straubel have been ruminating on. The answer is the key to Tesla's future. Well, here's what I'm thinking. We hit up Panasonic for probably half the funding. Yeah, Yamada's desperate to do business, that's for sure. And whichever state we end up building in, we get them to give us major incentives and say 10% of construction costs. Right, we'd be bringing in thousands of jobs. It's an excellent gambit. California would be good, close to home. Sure, but what about Sparks, Nevada? It's cheap and they'll jump at the idea. If we can get that going, we can have Yamada come out for a visit. He can watch a few bulldozers at work and it'll sell the idea we're moving forward. With or without Panasonic? Hell yes. The men know that secrecy is important. If the site is publicized, it will appear that Tesla is already good to go. Nevada will have no reason to kick in funding and incentives. It's risky. But if it pays off, the company's problems are solved. A month later, Yamada makes the trip to Nevada.
Straubel guides him around the site as bulldozers shift around massive amounts of dirt. The place is a hive of activity. It's pure theater, but it looks like a major project is underway. Yamada buys the ruse. He tells his bosses they need to team up with Tesla or be left in the cold. In July, the union between Tesla and Panasonic to create a large-scale battery factory hits the press. Musk calls it the Gigafactory. It'll reduce battery costs, in turn reducing the sticker price for any Tesla EV. In the coming weeks, the Sparks, Nevada site will become official. There's nothing standing in the way of Tesla taking on Detroit for EV dominance and pushing electric vehicles beyond a niche market. But Musk isn't waiting to see whether that will go his way. No, he has his eyes set on going to war with Detroit over the biggest car market on the planet, China. In 2009, China pushed aside the United States as the world's leading auto market. It's held that position ever since. General Motors alone sold 3 million vehicles annually in China in the last 3 years. The company has over 40 models and 7 brands on sale in the country, with luxury SUVs being a huge draw to the growing middle class. But GM is hardly alone. Top sellers in 2014 include models by Hyundai, Volkswagen, and Nissan. But China is choking on its own pollution, which helps to make it the largest market for electric cars on the planet. In April, Musk personally delivers the first 9 Model S sedans in Beijing. The recipients pay about $122,000 each for the EVs. They're part of China's growing wealthy demographic who flaunt luxury cars. Just the people Musk wants. October 22, 2014, Tesla headquarters in Palo Alto, California. 2 Tesla sales representatives are hunched over their laptops, nervously scanning news sites.
Wow, Michigan screwed us. We're completely shut down from directly selling in their state.
No surprise, given that Michigan is Motor City's home state. Republican Governor Rick Snyder quietly signs Bill 5606, barring direct auto sales to consumers.
What do you expect? Governor Snyder's up for re-election. The last thing he wants to do is upset Michigan's cartel of dealers.
Right. But what ticks me off is that now we can't even display cars, not even in a Tesla gallery. This could set a nasty precedent.
The company's high-tech interactive galleries and shopping malls have helped skirt the direct sales bans in Texas and other states. But it's not going to work in Michigan. The Tesla sales rep points to his screen and rolls his eyes.
Have you read GM's response? Mary Barra is saying GM isn't afraid of competition. They just want a level playing field.
The anti-Tesla bill is not the first time that General Motors has backed a legislative kneecapping of Tesla. 7 months ago, Ohio's legislature planned to let the company sell cars directly. GM pulled no punches, sending a letter to Ohio Governor John Kasich complaining that the bill would allow Tesla to compete under a different set of rules. The state Senate killed it. But the main battle is in Michigan, where Bill 5606 has ground Tesla's statewide sales to a screeching halt. And that grabs the media's attention. But among the powerful players in Detroit, not all of them think it's about just leveling the playing field. Hours after the Michigan governor puts down his pen, billionaire Michigan businessman Dan Gilbert is guest hosting the chat show Squawk Box. His guest is Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban. But sports is not on the agenda. Bill 5606 is.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I'm not a big fan of that. It really sends a bad message when lobbyists can really convince, you know, a governor and a legislature to do their bidding for them.
What would this country be like if every industry just outlawed innovation? Right. I mean, why don't these dealers just, why don't you man up and compete like everybody else does? Why do you have to go to the legislature and ban innovation?
Right. It's kind of crony capitalism.
But as Model S sales enter a cutthroat battle with American franchise dealers, Musk's wildcard tweeting is about to explode. And in one of its most lucrative markets, in China.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
We get support from Acura. The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com. Late 2014, Beijing, China. Two businessmen are having a morning coffee at a neighborhood restaurant. One guy gazes out the window, while the other casually thumbs through his phone.
Hey, you ordered a Tesla, right?
Model S. Can't wait for it to be delivered. It's a beautiful car.
Tesla sales are on the rise in China, Musk's new target market where EVs are all the rage. One guy frowns at his phone.
Have you seen this tweet from Elon Musk?
No. What's it all about?
He's talking about an upgraded version of the Model S.
Musk is addicted to tweeting. He's strictly against traditional advertising in the Detroit model, but he uses social media constantly.
It'll go from 0 to 60 in 3.2 seconds. What? Check out what Musk says. This car is nuts. It's like taking off from a carrier. It's just bananas. It's like having your own personal roller coaster. And the dash touchscreen literally lets you choose drive settings from normal, sport, or insane.
I want my own personal roller coaster.
He grabs his phone and starts typing furiously.
What are you doing?
Canceling my order. I want the new Model S.
Musk's ill-timed gun-jumping tweet results in an avalanche of canceled orders in China, leaving hundreds of Model S's in limbo. Sales drop by 33% as Tesla's Chinese team goes into urgent damage control to keep the company afloat in this burgeoning EV market. China isn't the only country troubling Tesla. In 2014, the Model S is on its way to becoming the best-selling car in Norway for either gas or electric, taking the title that Ford's held since 1986. Tesla's already sold twice as many cars as Nissan, Volkswagen, and BMW. The country even has a Tesla owners club that's 3,000 strong. But all that love isn't just because the Model S is fast and silent. Norway prides itself on being environmentally aware. The country fully embraces the EV movement, with government-backed incentives and goals to lower emissions drastically. Tesla is wildly popular here, though there are only a handful of service centers around Oslo where repairs are made quickly and competently. For owners in other regions, Tesla transports customers to and from the service center. Tesla keeps a close eye on Norway because it's become a small testing ground for the company. But with sales booming, customers in need of repairs are having a tough time. The lack of service locations has been a major point of attack, not only in Norway, but by Tesla critics in the States. It's an I-told-you-so moment for franchise dealers disgruntled with Musk's direct sales approach. Detroit brands have thousands of locations around the country. Repairs are convenient. And they have a point. Despite the fact that Tesla's EVs require far less basic maintenance than gas vehicles, bigger mechanical fixes are an issue.
Musk and the crew at Tesla headquarters in California are monitoring the situation with growing concern. Norway is a preview of what's to come. Repairs in the U.S. take about a month. In Norway, it's become double that or more. Just getting an appointment can take weeks. With Tesla's Model X SUV debut looming in months, and the Model 3 slated for 2017, things are looking dicey. If Tesla can't straighten out its repair situation, Detroit could take control of the EV market. But Musk has a secret weapon. He's hired a fixer, and that man is on a flight to Norway. It's early 2015 at the Tesla offices in Oslo. Tesla's new chief operating officer, John McNeil, is meeting with the executive council of the country's Tesla Owners Club.
Thanks for meeting with me. I know you've been experiencing lengthy repair periods, and I know that's annoying. I love my Model S, but the door handles don't work right, and the volume control on the steering wheel is kaput. When I tried to make a service appointment, I was told they could book me next year.
McNeil scans the room and smiles. He's an innovative veteran customer service expert. He knows Norway is a key market on the global front for Tesla. The government's goal is to completely phase out gas-powered vehicles in less than a decade. And someone needs to be supplying all those EVs. A woman raises her hand. She doesn't look happy.
Hi, yeah, I waited 5 months to fix my battery, and the repair just made things worse. I should have bought a used gas car. I'd be better off. Your service center is always overbooked.
I hear you. I really do. But we're dedicated to solving these issues.
McNeil has done his research.
We can make at least 80% of repairs at the owner's home, office, or wherever it's convenient. Other than replacing a drivetrain, we can come to you and do the work where you are. We're ramping up our service team here in Norway. We will absolutely have your repair problems taken care of very quickly. Long waits will be a thing of the past.
McNeil can feel the tension in the room lift. People want to like their Teslas. Thank God for that, McNeil thinks to himself. Increased manpower is one thing, but the company can't possibly afford to build a new network of nationwide service centers. Once again, Tesla has put out another potentially catastrophic fire. But when it snuffs one out, there always seems to be smoke from another one on the horizon. Tesla has big plans for 2015. Musk is making promises that have his staffers sweating and Detroit scoffing. He says he plans to build an EV that can go 500 miles on a single charge. He's claiming that the company will be worth $700 billion and grow 50% annually over the next 10 years. Yet, in Tesla's 12-year existence, it's only shown a profit in a single quarter. And Motor City is quick to point out that every Tesla EV sold loses money. Now, oil prices are dropping, raising the appeal of gas vehicles. And Tesla is headed for a nightmare confrontation with the government after an incident that turns deadly.
Hey, Prime members, you can binge every episode of Business Wars ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
From Wondery, this is Episode 3 of Tesla vs. Detroit for Business Wars. A quick note about recreations you've been hearing. In most cases, we can't know exactly what was said. Those scenes are dramatizations, but they're based on historical research. Among our sources were Power Play by Tim Higgins and Elon Musk, Tesla, SpaceX, and the Quest for a Fantastic Future by Ashley Vance. I'm your host, David Brown. Peter Gilstrap wrote this story. Voice acting by Stephen Fu and Michelle Phillippe. Karen Lowe is our senior producer and editor.
edited and produced by Emily Frost. Sound design by Kyle Randall. Our producer is Dave Schilling. Our executive producers are Jenny Lauer Beckman and Marshall Louie. Created by Hernan Lopez for Wondery.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.